I hope you all have some spiritual stamina. Yeah, you ready for some more things? I hope you haven't had enough because you're going to get more. So you want to be ready. You don't want this time to go by with your minds going off someplace else. Lord, we just ask that our minds stay focused on the Word of God, on you, Lord, that we gain from everything that's happened here in our service. This is what it's about, is for us to grow in you. And we thank you, Lord, today that you are with us, and you're there to give us all that we need to live this life the way you want. Paul says, for him to live is Christ. And that's an amazing statement, really. And I've been thinking lately about how Jesus says that he is in us and we are in him. That's kind of a neat kind of oneness thing that is there. I want to talk about each aspect of this. And I'm going to preface this by saying that the notes that Robin Ross had for the women's thing yesterday, Kathy showed them to me this morning. After I had gotten the message together, she says, does any of this fit in with your message? And it fit perfectly. And so there's a reason why I'm wearing a tie, because you know I don't usually do this. So, but there's a reason for this, and you'll find out a few scriptures in what I'm going to be talking about. And ladies, maybe you know where this is going to go, maybe not. We'll just see. But it isn't just coincidence. I thought what Reggie said there, about a few days after he brings a message, he reads something in a book, and it goes bam, 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 right along with it. We are fortunate that we have this confirmation that comes. It lets us know that we're on the mark, that we're listening to God, that we're hearing things from the Lord, right? Yes? Yes. It isn't just pot shot things that are happening. God is wooing us and coaxing us. And I think that this message is to just coax us some more, because this life wears us down. If we get distracted in our minds, we get tired in our hearts sometimes. We get discouraged. All these different things that are happening in the world, it weighs on us. And we need spiritual shots of spiritual energy and belief and trust. Yeah. Yes? Amen? So let's grab a hold of it. Can you do that today? Yes. Grab a hold of some of these things here. All right, so what was mentioned there by a number of people, that Jesus did it all for us. And it's by his blood that we're saved. What he did opened up everything to us. There's nothing that we do that really gets anywhere. If we're doing, it's his power, it's his wisdom, it's his love, it's his forgiveness, right? Everything really comes back to Jesus. And that's why Paul says, for me, to live is Christ. Because it isn't him doing something for God. He's allowing the life of God to live through him in his own particular special way. And this was brought out earlier.
Let me see if I remember that. I wrote the scripture down, I think. Yeah, wait a minute. I know I have. It'll come up, because I don't know which one it's going to be there. All right, so everybody in Colossians? All right, so let's start here. We're going to start with this verse,
Colossians 1, verse 27 says this, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The hope of glory is that Christ is in us. It's through Him that we can accomplish whatever we need to accomplish. It isn't that we're going to be able to do it on our own. We need Christ. We need Christ for anything in our lives, don't we?
Yes.
Anything of significance. We pray to the Lord. We draw on the Lord. And we get the power and the strength and the wisdom and everything that we need from Jesus Himself. Isn't that right? So I want to preface that anything else that I'm going to say is based on the fact that Jesus is in us. Our salvation is secured in the fact that Jesus knows us and lives within us. Okay? This is a fact. Anything that happens in this life, we can turn to Christ, and because His Spirit lives within us, we can find the help that we need in that time of need.
Yes.
Isn't that right? So there's nothing that should throw us off kilter. There isn't anything that ultimately should discourage us to the point of giving up. We have the power of Christ. We have His Spirit in us. And we can be secure in that. Can't we? Now I want to go on because this is kind of like what Robin was saying, you know. Salvation comes and that's the beginning of things. There's more to this. You know, what happens after we're saved? Well, that's what we're in right now, aren't we?
Yes.
That's what we're experiencing, and I think it's important for us to get our feet down on some good solid ground about what that is. So, I want to say that for many of us, for most of the church, that scripture says that it's Christ in us is the hope of glory. Well, hope that can be seen is not hope,
right?
The book of Romans says. So we don't see Christ just, exuding out of our beings all the time, do we?
No.
You know? Christ in us is a hope of glory. And though we are going to fail numbers of times, and it doesn't seem that we're there as a hope of glory, God wants to coax us to the fact that, you know, how about living there? How about actually living there? Because positionally, we're secure in Christ, aren't we? There's a hope of glory. There's something that we don't see now that we're going to see later on.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
We know that. It's a hope of glory. But I believe, and I think the scriptures, prove it out, that God wants us to walk with Him. And this is what the in Christ is. See, He's in us. Well, what about us in Him? This is when things start happening in yours and my life where His glory can be seen in the world through His church. Lots of people are dissatisfied that there's a hope of glory. Right? But God wants more than that for His church. Right? We're supposed to be, He's the light of the world, and because He lives in us, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. He says that too about us. But that's conditional on us being in Him. Right?
Yes.
You see where I'm going with this?
Sometimes the light's out, right? Since I'm here, I'm just going to mention this scripture. Oh, here it is. Here's the one. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Each of us have some special measure and special gift and special ministry. We all have. It's different. And what we've received of God, we're supposed to actually walk in it. Not just be waiting for something down the road. That we can actually walk in what God has specially gifted us with. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And you know, Reggie's message last week, you know, about fear and trust, and how much of the body of Christ gets withheld because of fearfulness of stepping out. You know what I love? I love that people stand up and say things in this church.
Yes.
You're not afraid. You know, Sylvia didn't think, "Oh well, can I really do this?" No, she felt a moving of the Spirit. I don't know if you said something to Reggie or not, but you got up there, didn't you?
I didn't even
know. And I think that's important for us to feel that kind of sensing and then moving and not being so fearful. You know?
Well, there's freedom in Christ.
There's freedom in Christ.
There's freedom.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so as we receive, we need to give.
And sometimes there's a bit of fear, but you have to have faith and trust in God.
Yeah, and you got to step out then, don't you?
You have to step out in that faith, you know, and trust. So.
Romans 8:19 says that the creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God.
Yes.
Now, that revealing means taking the lid off, being able to see. You see, I think there's the ultimate thing of the rapture and the transformation of our bodies, and I think that's the ultimate place where that scripture's going. But don't you think that there's more to see from the church that the rest of the world needs to see?
Yeah.
That they need to see more of Christ? In the church, more of Him, you know, it has to be this unveiling. And I think this is what God's coaxing us is to finally get to a place where we actually make some very concrete decisions to move in that kind of direction. Let me give you some examples here. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. I think we'll start here. Romans chapter 13. So go to Romans 13. Romans 13. We're going to start in verse 11. You've heard this particular scripture a few times before in the past. It says, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. I don't think we really understand. Everything is just fine with you. I find that
the closer I get to God, the further away I seem to be, almost. You know? Yeah, the closer you get to Him, you find out, you know, I was so in the dark about that thing in me. I didn't realize that I was that obtuse to this person, what was going on in that person's life. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And we're obtuse to things that we shouldn't be obtuse about. Mm-hmm. You know? It's high time to awake out of the sleepiness that the enemy has wrapped the church around. Mm-hmm. It goes on, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof."
Now, I want to say something about this, because
we have Christ in us. And the scripture tells us we're supposed to put Him on.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
He's in. Well, wait a minute. He's in us. What do I got to put Him on for? This is the choice. These are the daily choices that we make, where we decide we're going to be in Him. He's already in us. We need to be in Him, and that's a choice. That's a choice, like what you're going to wear. When it says there, and we're going to look at another scripture, put on. Put on means to clothe yourself. Yeah? And you know that there's an adage that says, clothes make the man. Remember that, some of you old guys? That's an old adage. Right? Clothes make the man. Well, we know that that's not true in terms of, maybe it is. In an outward kind of sense, because I hardly ever wear pots. But I wore this for one reason. For you to first notice, what the heck is he wearing?
That's right. I thought you spilled coffee on your shirt.
Yeah, we want to be clothed in Christ.
Now, let me tell you what that word,
it means. This word to clothe, to put on, means to clothe. It means to sink into a garment. To get totally immersed into this garment that you put on. That's what we're supposed to do with Christ. Yeah? He's in us, and the power then is there for us. Then there's the daily walking with Him. And that's what we're just reading about. If we have this salvation, walk in it. We have this great salvation. Let's walk in it. That's why the scripture tells us, you know, that we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not that we're losing salvation, but this is so great a salvation where the power of God and the love of God has been shed abroad upon our hearts. There's something that needs to come forth out of that. He's looking for... Yeah, Kathy's looking and seeing that my tie's going like this now. So...
There.
I have. It's not a tie. I've put on Christ. I'm not putting on a tie. So, all right, but isn't this true though? I really like that. Sink into a garment. When you get dressed, you know, you're trying things on in the morning. Right? Put something on. Now that shows my belly too much. I'm not going to wear that. I'm going to wear this, or I'm going to, you know. We try things on and we see what fits, right? And the Lord wants us to put him on. Isn't that, that's kind of a neat way of saying it, I think. You know, to put on Christ.
Okay, so we're going to move right along here.
You know, you talk about putting on the armor of God, and you know, there's all these things that we can that we put on. We get dressed in that. You know, you're going out someplace. You want to be dressed the right way, right? So I want us to turn. This goes along with this whole thing about being clothed. I want you to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Because what I want to talk about here is what does this really mean? You know, to be in Christ, to actually put him on. And I want to look at a few things that is important for us to do in order to actually do that. Okay, Revelation chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to read 17 and 18. And it says this, Revelation 3, 17. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, don't you know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Oh, I'm safe. I don't have anything to worry about. Oh, I got plenty of money. I'm doing okay. Right? And the Lord says, don't get this attitude that you don't have somewhere else to go. That you don't have another piece of clothing that you need. Right? You need to be clothed with me. And then it goes on and says this in verse 18. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be what? Clothed. We need to be dressed. I think the Robin's term yesterday was in God's dressing room or something like that, right? Was that how she kind of said it? You know? And God wants us to put him on. God wants us to get dressed in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing that this is pointing out. This costs something. To receive Christ is something where your faith and your belief, and you understand you're a sinner and that you need Christ, is the first step in this whole process where you believe, right? The cost at that point is not a real cost. It's an acceptance of something that Jesus has already done, right? When you and I want to be in him, there's actually a cost to that. We have to buy the gold that's tried in the fire. And that's why a lot of people go running away when somebody talks like that. But this is the meat of the word. You're getting fed meat here. Because most people, because it's uncomfortable, speak to us soft things. Speak to us things that are just nice for us to hear. And yet God is coaxing us that, my gosh, get awake, open your eyes. There's so much more to life and what I can do in you and through you and the benefits of all of what that's going to be if you embrace this. If we embrace the fact that, you know, we're choosing him, and it's a daily choice, isn't it? Don't you find that that's true?
Yes.
It costs you something. We have to pick up our cross daily. Yes. There are things that need to be dealt with. There's a cost here.
I was going to go into that, like the cost, some of the costs, when you say costs, I'm thinking of all the things that we, that we're doing, all our sins, basically, is part of that cost. You know,
drag the sins with us?
But basically there's a cost, meaning like the things that we choose to do to give us temporary pleasure, let's say.
Yes.
Or temporary, we think it's pleasure or whatever. There's a cost to that. You've got to get rid of some of that we got to get rid of. So there's a cost to that. And you can't continue in Christ as well if you're caught up in that stuff. So
that's
there's
right.
a cost to that. You're giving that up.
Yes. And we're going to go right to Ephesians chapter 4. Speed this up a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. This goes right with that, with this particular theme, this concept. To be in Christ, you've got to put away that old man. You know, when you accept Christ and Christ comes in you, you can still live just the way you please. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you live a good life. Does he? No, he's a gentleman, but he's there to convict us, to move us in the right direction, to speak to us, to rebuke us, to do what needs to be done, so that we start going in the direction God wants us to go.
Yeah.
Right? So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at some verses here. Verse 22. Ephesians 4:22. It says that you put off concerning the former behavior the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You want to be in him. You want to put on Christ. Well, in order to do that, you need to be in the process of putting off the old man. You can't keep all those things and say, well, I can't get rid of this sin. Because it's just too hard. But I'm going to be in Christ. You know? You understand that? Now, we're not going to be perfect. But our attitude has to be that we're looking to be somebody different. The scripture tells us that we're a new creature in Christ. Well, if we are, then we need to live that way. We're not going to be helping people. We're not going to have the power that God wants to move through us if we're tossed between two opinions. I like this life. I like doing this. I know it's not really what God wants, but heck, what the heck? We're all human. And then over on the other side, you want to be that good righteous person that God has called you to be. Is that right?
Yes.
And so we need to not be tossed back and forth. God's coaxing us into decision making that I know I'm going to fail a million times. Reggie was saying, you bring a word and man, you get smacked with it. So I'm afraid of what might happen this week. But that's for all of us though, right? Every word of God is tested. Every word of God is tested. It's going to get worked in you and me. And we're going to find out, oh, I'm not so righteous after all. I have the righteousness of Christ, which is a positional thing, which how God looks at us and how it's going to be wonderful when we get to that state in the heavenly spheres. In the meantime, though, I'm not so righteous. And our attitude has to be, I want to get there. Yeah? Please, God. I want to be fervent about this. I don't want to just casually just bump along. There's too many things coming up in this world that you and I need to be ready for. Ready for people when the financial markets collapse. Ready when things are so falling apart that there's so much fear in the world and so much bad action because of that fear, that we can be a place of solace and peace that can draw people to Christ. You know? Somebody's going to have to be that way. And I'm telling you, because Jesus is in you, there's a hope of glory. But if you're not in Him, if you got the one part, but you're not actively working to be in Him, you're not going to be any more ready to help anybody. Because you can talk about Jesus and they see your anxiousness, your anger, your fear. That's going to say, well, you're not any better off than I am. I can be bringing people to Christ. You're going to be talking about Christ, but you're not going to be in a place to really, because of who you are and who you've become, who you've dressed yourself with, to be able to do anything for people. We do have to be the light of the world. We do have to be those that have dressed themselves in Christ. Yes?
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just, we're playing a game. We're mouthing the right things. But if you and I are not really pursuing putting Christ on every day, that He is where we need to be. If all we're doing is talking about it here on a Sunday and living a different way the rest of the week, let's not fool ourselves. Let's not be in the dark about it. Let's wake up to that. Right?
Okay. So, I am not going to take the time to go down through all of these things. It does say, after verse 22, it says, and verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because isn't that where it's at? That's where you and I get nailed by the enemy, by our own insecurities and fears and everything else, to bring us down, to make us ineffective in Christ, to make us hope for things, but not be living in a way that we can obtain those things. You got this? I wonder what I've missed. 68 years. Oh my gosh. And there's a... I'll bet you God doesn't show us all the opportunities that we've missed. I'm glad He doesn't. I'd probably, be really upset about myself.
You're almost 70.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
No, I don't think you were that old.
So the thing.
Thank you so much. What this means, as far as like being in Christ, means that there, you and I have to truly pursue a character change. Putting off the old, putting on the new. We need to be sensitive through the day when God's putting His finger on something. Otherwise, we're obtuse to it. We're in the dark. We're still not awake. And it's high time that we awake. Don't you think?
Yes.
I think that even after hearing a message like this, that we can still go, oh well, don't get too riled up about this. And yet, what God has for you and me, what is out there, what grand things could happen. And I don't mean grand in terms of the television cameras are there and they're filming everything you're doing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about meeting what God has for you, pressing toward that mark where you're obtaining the thing that God has for you to take a hold of. Or no, that's I guess that's nothing. Because we have no concept. We're still in the dark about what all that really can mean for you and me. And we're tied into the world, and we're tied into our old way of thinking, and
I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do one more scripture here. Colossians chapter 3.
You want to be able to be in Christ, this is something you have to do. This is verse 1. If then you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Our minds have to get refocused. Don't they?
Yes.
If God has, if our life is hid with Christ in God, what is it that's hidden? I'd like to find out what it is. What is it about my life that's hid in Christ that I need to find out about? You ever think of that?
Yeah. No.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Oh, there's things that are in Christ that if I set my affections on things above, I'm going to find out things about my life that's hidden in Christ, that God has as a little mystery, a little secret that He's going to give you, He's going to give me, that's going to make our lives even blossom more and get so much more fulfillment out of this life. Do you want that?
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Last scripture. Turn to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15.
We're going to read verses 4 through 7. It says this: abide in me and I in you. Notice what he's saying here. You be in me and I'll be in you. We already know that he has fulfilled his end of the bargain, hasn't he? He's in us already. His spirit is in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And all we have to do is cooperate. I like that. So he's saying, abide in me, live in me. Make it a habit. Right? As a branch can't bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except that you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We're all well aware of that. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But then verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Not everything that I've asked God has come to me. Maybe I wasn't abiding in Him. Maybe there's too many times where I'm not really abiding in Him. Yeah, don't we have to wake up to that fact?
Yes.
And say, oh, maybe that explains a few things to me. You know? How much do we really want to, as the first point was, investing in Him, buying that gold, sacrificing a little more for the things of Him and His kingdom. People don't want to hear that. Christians don't really want to hear that. They want to know they're saved and just go bouncing along through life with no changes. You know, It's a beautiful thing, the beginning of the gospel, the milk of the word. It's really wonderful because all I have to do is believe. Yeah. God makes it easy. God makes it easy for us to come into his family. It's after we come in that things get a little more difficult. But that's okay, because you know why? Because he gives us the power to do any of these things. How's that scripture go? I can do all things through all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we have to go through some bad experience, then he'll give us the strength to get through that. If there's health problems, he'll give us the strength to get through it. Or have people pray enough and there's breakthroughs. I mean, we have the ability to get through anything. Is that right? And you know, and if we trust the Lord long enough, we see lots of the things that we pray for because we're investing in Him and investing in Him and we're in Him and we sow to the Lord and we sow to trusting in Him and believing in Him. That sometimes it takes years and years and years for some kind of an answer, but it comes. And in the meantime, we're going to grow in Christ. What we want is the immediate answer. And whatever it is that's not allowing that to happen, whether it's God's will or we're blocked in some kind of way, and God has to allow us to go through something so we finally get a picture on things, I don't know what it is. But one thing is for sure, and that was what Reggie was talking about last week. I hope that you trust God. That you trust Him. Because, you know, He didn't die for us to just leave us alone. He died for us, and He's there for us. And it's connecting with Him. It's getting in Him, abiding in Him, that's going to help us to be able to be the people we need to be to minister to the rest of the world. Yeah. 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 Don't tell me that Bible of yours has something nice to say.
It has something.
All right,
go ahead.
Yeah, go.
Independent attitude is part of the main stage of Christianity. As a mature Christian knows that he can do anything, he can do anything of real value apart from Jesus. Of course, he can do all things, but that doesn't mean they will be done right, or that we will enjoy them, or that they will produce any real lasting fruit. When the Lord says we can do nothing apart from him, he means things will not work properly in our lives unless we invite him into everything.
Yeah.
His presence can eliminate much of the struggle we experience in life. It makes it impossible things possible, hard things easy, and frustrating things peaceful. Do not ever be afraid to say, "Help, Lord, I can't do this well."
So, Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we're nothing without you. And we thank you, Lord, today that you don't coddle us. We're not really babes anymore. We're growing up in you. And Lord, you're not coddling us. You're encouraging us. You tell it like it is. And you want us, Lord, to grow up in you. That we would grow in you, Lord, today. And that happens only when we're in you. So Lord, we desire here. We confess with our mouths, with our hearts to you today, that, Lord, we want to be grown-up sons that go through the process, and that we won't whine and complain, that we'll accept the things that we can't control and give those things to you. Knowing, Lord, that you love us, that you died for us, we will continue to walk in this life, trusting in you. And Father, I pray that you would bless this word to us, that we would be people that would pursue you, to want to walk in the things that we've received, that we would work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that you are in us, our hope of glory, and Lord, we pray that we would experience that, because we move in you, we trust in you, we lean on you, we move in your power, in your wisdom, your might. We bind any spirit of fear. We bind the work of the enemy that would just want to put cold water on this and say, nobody can do this. Don't get too excited about Jesus. But Lord, we desire, Lord, for you to fill us with a fervency that is pure and right and good. In Jesus' name. I think we're at a place here. I think we've done all the things that we normally do in the service. We'll have prayer in the room.
Just want to remind everyone about the bowling on Saturday.
There's bowling coming up this Saturday.
For you younger couples that have kids, you've seen Heather. I think she has somebody who can take care of your kids for a couple hours. But let me know if you haven't. It's going to be there. 6:30 to 8:30 next Saturday.
Also, if anybody gets interested in going to the Alton Bay retreat, I'd like to get some more information, because I'm interested in going. I don't know if anybody else has spoken about it. That's in March. I believe it's
up on the bulletin board, I think.
Yeah, it's on the bulletin board.
And, well,